Okay, I think we're up to the bottom of Gimel Amud Aleph, so I want to continue with this Gemara. We'll try to, as we go forward, to continue to tie together. A lot of the topics are interconnected. Try to tie them together. So again, what we've been doing is discussing some of the issues connected with this first Mishnah. Okay, the Mishnah says, just to remind everybody very quickly, that Chamesha Sreinashim Potros Tzoroseim the tzoros tzoroseim and achalitza min ayibum adso pa'ola. There are 15. Again, normally what happens is the context of ibum is that a brother dies without leaving any children. He leaves a wife or multiple wives, as the case may be. And normally, despite the fact that there's normally an iser of eshes ach, that the wife of a brother is one of the arayos. Normally that means it's chayve krisus. It also means that kedushin is not tofes the eshes ach, even after a divorce or even after the death of the brother. However, if there are no children, so that's a yibum situation, and normally there would be an obligation to do either yibum or chalitza with that wife, or if there are multiple wives, with one of those wives. That's a normal circumstance of yibum. However, the Mishnah tells us that if one of the wives, even if only one of the wives, never mind the only wife, was one of the 15 categories of erva, namely, she was somebody who was prohibited to him not only as eshes ach, but in some other capacity as well. Let's say it's his daughter, his daughter-in-law, his mother-in-law, as the case, his sister-in-law, the other sister-in-law, meaning the sister of his wife. So he would be prohibited, you know, on that basis as well. So in that circumstance, not only is she excluded as a candidate of Yibum, but also the co-wives, again, this is pre-Cherem Rabbeinu Gershom, I mean, that whole group of, that whole family, in other words, is excluded from Yibum for this brother. Of course, if there are two brothers, or more, and one of the brothers has this kind of a relationship with one of the potential subjects of Yibum, then you can always, then what you do is you have the other brother do the Yibum or the Chalitza. Either way, that's the Mishnah. So the Mishnah says that if one of the women is in that category, she is excluded from Yibum and Chalitza, and not only that, but the Tzara, right, or the co-wife, the whole group is excluded, and not only that, but if there is a third brother, let's say, and one of the tzaros, one of the co-wives, let's say, again, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, so Reuven dies, Shimon, right, Shimon's daughter is one of Reuven's wives, therefore Shimon is excluded from all three wives of Reuven, but Levi marries one of the three. Let's say he doesn't marry his niece, Shimon's daughter, he marries one of the other two, what we call nachrios, the non-related women. So he marries her. Then Levi also dies without leaving any heirs. So now there's a new Yibum case that Shimon has to confront, namely not Reuven, but Levi. Now Levi is not married to his daughter, but he is married to somebody who used to be a co-wife with his daughter from the previous marriage to Reuven. Hopefully everybody's following, right? So this is one of the easier cases. So if that's the case, that's called Tzaras Tzara. And you can keep going, as the Mishnah says, and so forth. So that's the Mishnah. So what we've discussed so far, we discussed the order of the Mishnah, the significant, the hierarchy of relationships. And then last week we discussed a little bit more about the concept of Tzaras Erva, which we'll get back to today, and especially about the link between Yibum and Chalitza. Because the Gemara points out that there are, in addition to the other chidushim in the Mishnah, the idea of Tzaras Erva, which itself is a very fascinating idea in a chiddush, Beis Shammai disagrees. Beis Shammai thinks that the woman who is related to him cannot be a candidate for Yibum or Chalitza, but why can't the co-wives? So Beis Shammai actually disagrees. We paskin like Beis Hillel. So in addition to that chiddush, and the chiddush even of Tzaras Tzara, right, those are big chidushim already, but the Gemara says another chiddush, and that is the exclusion of Chalitza in addition to Yibum. Because Yibum, we understand why there's no Yibum. There's no Yibum because the heter of Eches Ach, which is a very big Chiddush HaTorah, Yibum doesn't extend to some other prohibited relationship. You're never going to say that a person can marry his daughter. That's obscene, right? And, you know, while it's less obvious, right? But the same idea applies to Achos Ishto, right? And so on. But or his aunt from his father's side. The same idea, even though it's a little less obvious. But why should there be no chalitza? After all, what is the act of chalitza doesn't violate any iser. So why not say that so there's no yibum, but she's still zekuka v'omedes, right? She's in limbo, and something needs to be done to resolve her status. Let's do chalitza. So that's the Gemara here in Gimel Amud Aleph. The Gemara says you might have thought that, and it's not so. And then the Gemara explains that the reason it's not so is because of a klal, which we're going to get back to. The klal that says, this is a six lines from the bottom of the page on Gimel Amud Aleph, kol ola liyibum ola lechalitza, kol she'ena ola liyibum ena ola lechalitza. And we pointed out, which means that whenever there's no yibum, there's no chalitza either. Now the question is, how to understand that halakha? There are two ways to understand it. One way is to say that it's a misleading halakha a little bit. Meaning, there's nothing esoteric about this, and there's nothing really very of great, let's say, consequence either. All the statement means to establish is that there's something common between Yibum and Chalitza, and that is Zika, right? The link itself, the connection that she has to the other. So in a situation where there's no Yibum, and that reflects the fact that the Zika is not Kal, then there's not going to be Chalitza either. It's not because of the kesher between Chalitza and Yibum, it's because no Yibum is another way of saying, right, no, there's Eshesach, there's no Zika. Okay. The other way is to say there is Zika here. The fact that there's no Yibum is what I call an implementation problem. I mean, you can't apply Yibum because of the Iser Arayos. But there is a Zika, and she's a limbo, and she needs a heter. She would think she would need a heter. Therefore, there's very good reason to think that she should need chalitza. However, there's some new halacha, a different halacha, and that is that chalitza and Yibum are two sides of the same coin. That they are connected. Without there being an obligation to do one, then it's not considered that you're neglecting. If you can't do Yibum, then you're not neglecting Yibum. And if you're not neglecting Yibum, right, then there's no din or chalos of chalitza either. That is a very profound halacha. That's a halacha that tells us that chalitza and Yibum are connected. So I want to get back to that. I'm going to leave it for now because I want to get through the next Amud of the Gemara first. But just that's going to be important. These two perspectives are going to be very important. In the already in the Rishonim, right, earlier in the Tanoim and Amoraim, the discussion of the relationship between chalitza and Yibum is very, very important. For example, we already had here, which you read last week, Abba Shaul's statement on the bottom of Gimel and Aleph that chalitza is preferred to Yibum. Now he says that for more pragmatic reasons, because Abba Shaul was of the opinion that if you can't accomplish a purely motivated Yibum, right, L'shem Yibum, not L'shem Ibn Ishus, not L'shem Noi, her beauty, not L'shem anything else, then you shouldn't do it, because you're bordering on Zunus in error. That's Abba Shaul. But in addition to Abba Shaul, there are other views in the Tanaim that seem to say that Chalitza is the equivalent or maybe even preferred to Yibum. So there's an issue whether or not we pass it the other way usually, that Yibum is preferred to Chalitza. So when we talk about the relationship between Yibum and Chalitza, that's one issue, where which one takes priority. In addition to that, there's another question, and that is, we talked about it a little bit already, like how to look at Chalitza. Some Rishonim use the expression about Chalitza that it's a mitzvah haba ba'deira. Right? But they don't mean it. That's really the formulation that we have here in the sheets that's in front of us, just to show you again very quickly. That's the on the last page. The Raivin's father-in-law, the Rabbi Abad, was asked by Rabbi Yosef ibn Palat, right? I'm sorry, the other way. When Rabbi Abad asked Rabbi Yosef ibn Palat to give him the key to Hilchos Brachos, Alzeh Shal Rav Avram Rabbi Yitzchak Adeznes, Rabbi Yosef ibn Palat, literally, Mafteach Bahen, Zeh Lashon She'ela, Tzorach Anishe Shetim Sorli Mafteach Al Eilu Mitzvos Mvarchan Al Asiyasa. And when do you make a bracha? When you do a mitzvah. For some things you do, some things you don't. What is the principle? So one of the things that he told him was, Shiluach HaKan, you don't make a bracha, because mitzvah baba averi. Right? Tichsib, lo tikach emol abanim, bim lakachta shalach tishalach. V'chein arifas peter chamor, tifte v'seb, bim lo tifte v'arafto, v'chein tsreifas nosar, lo sasiru menu v'nosur imenu, elu kula numayda damilay, mishunav mitzvah baba averi, lo mevarchin in life, there's no bracha. Then he adds, v'ein mevarchin ala chalitza, also, mishun the mitzvah baba averi, he dekaavar ala say the yibum. Right? The next slide we'll leave for now, but whatever. So, does he literally mean that chalitza is a mitzvah baba avera? And that's why, right, it's not mitzvah baba avera. But if you look at the cases, this is what I was trying to explain, right, the other cases are also not mitzvah baba avera. Nosar is not mitzvah baba avera. And Shiloh HaKan is not mitzvah baba avera. What they really are lav hanitak lase. Now, why is it called a mitzvah baba avera? We understand why. What it means is that this mitzvah is born of an avera. I mean, this mitzvah, you know, classic mitzvah avera means something else. You know, it means you have a choice, and you perform a mitzvah b'derech avera. You use a stolen lulav, right, or a stolen korban. That's a real mitzvah baba avera. What it means here is that this is a mitzvah born, right, of an avera, attempting to rectify. Right, in the context of an avera, you took you left the car the kachim longer than you should. So the only thing you can do now to neutralize the problem is sreifas nosa, and that's shiluach hakan, and that's how he's describing, which is fascinating, not obvious at all. Chalitza and yibum. Right? Now, which basically means that chalitza is meant to clean up the mess, you know, to neutralize the damage of having ignored yibum. Now, that's a very extreme formulation. You don't have to go that far. Right? But the idea that chalitza, right, is something that reflects ignoring yibum has other roots. I say the Rabbeinu B'chayin is Perush on Parshas Kitetze says that part of the ceremony of Chalitza reflects a kind of avelus. So he says, why? Because in a certain respect, when you do Yibum, this is a very sharp line of Rina B'chai, when you do Yibum, right, you're continuing the legacy of the mace. In a way, you're keeping him alive. Right? When you do Chalitza and you refuse to do the Yibum, right, that's the final nail in his coffin, you know, in some respects. So the ceremony of chalitza, right, highlights aspects of avera. It's a very powerful idea. The Ramban says something not quite as sharp, but in a similar direction in Parshas Vayesha. Now again, that's not the same as saying that it's nita klase, but you can understand that there's a certain kesher, a certain connection there. You can understand that if there's no opportunity to the yibum. What?
The way he picked the shoe off?
Yeah, kind of. I think that's one of the things that he—that's one of the things that he points to, 100%. So the Ilas Asandal, the and Rikika, you know, all those things.
Rikika, right.
So the point is, what does that do with what I'm saying now? Because the question, there are two ways to read this Gemara. Kol ole liibum, ole chalitza. Kol sheino liibum, eino ole lechalitza. As we said, one is. The way Rashi reads it, Rashi keeps emphasizing, so we shouldn't be mafkia the mitzvah yibum, but yibum elo mishum zeres akasim dilitzror kamashal masis and holu patra habas mizika yibum. Rashi adds words that aren't in the Gemara. The word zika, right? He adds it three times out of four opportunities. The Rambam does similar things in other places. Keturah min haChalitza, the kol ola lezikas yibum, ola lezikas chalitza, kol she'en ola lezikas yibum, keturah min haChalitza. Right? So he adds those words. Then he also adds, which Rabbi Kineger calls him on, the kol heichad amin and chaletzas v'lom esyavemes mishum steiko. Meaning the only time that we find an exception to this rule, where there's chalitza b'li yibum, is when we're not sure of the halacha, right? So midrabanan, we're machmir for chalitza. We can't take a risk on doing yibum. So Rabbi Kineger on the side here in Gilui Nashas says, this is wrong, or kasha is kasha, because if you look at the Gemara later on daf kaf amud beis and kaf amud aleph and kaf aleph amud aleph, the Gemara there says that almana lekohen gadol nesua, right, an almana who was married, not just erusin but nesuin, and now again her husband dies and she's a candidate for yibum, and the brother is a kohen gadol, right? So the Gemara says about such a case that it sounds like the Gemara says that minat Torah there's chalitza and no yibum, right? There's no yibum because ein ase docha lo sase viase, but there is chalitza. Now some Rishonim take the position that the chalitza there's only drabanan. Minat Torah there's no yibum and there's no chalitza. However, simple reading of the Gemara, and those understood it this way, most Rishonim, Ramban accepted this is the main shita. The Rambam Paskins is an amanu lekohen gadol nesua, amanu nesua lekohen gadol, I should say, is no yibum minat Torah but yes chalitza. So that's what Riki Vager is asking. What does Rashi mean when he says that the only time that we find a chalitza without a yibum is in a situation of safek? It's not true. But as I say, and I'm not the only one who says this, but I'm adding the diukim. It's not a coincidence that Rashi has the word zika here. What Rashi means to say, apparently, is that the din of kol ol yibum ol chalitza kol shen ol yibum ol chalitza is not about the relationship between chalitza and yibum per se, right? It's about the common denominator that they share, and that is zika. So if there's no yibum because there's no zika, then there's no chalitza either. But lo yatzir, you'll have a case where there's no yibum for other reasons, like ein asei docha lo sase bi'asei, right? Even though there is tisas kiddushin in asei v'lav. So there is zika, right? So then if there's no yibum in that case, there still could be chalitza. On the other hand, the other mefarshin may believe, and we'll see this in a moment soon, that if you take, for example, the view that it's what they call mitzvah babadera, la benita klase, or again, part of the chalitza is the fact that you willfully, that you, as an act of volition, right, turned your back on yibum. Well, if the Torah doesn't allow you to do yibum, right, then maybe there's no significance to chalitza. Or another way to look at it is that chalitza is a kind of, say, we'll pursue this more as we go forward, but chalitza maybe is a kind of safety valve for yibum, meaning, just like get is a safety valve for Kiddushin, but obviously that's in different stages. Here, you have a situation where she's zakuka liyibo. Now the question is, you're going to force this on people, on both people, right? So in a way, having the option of chalitza, right, makes yibum more acceptable and plausible. Makes it more of an act of Kiddushin. And the point is, but if you don't have the option of yibum, then maybe the significance of chalitza is lost as well. Or just to highlight this in a slightly different way, and I'll take the question one more second, we'll see later on, but just to, there are different formulations. There's a whole debate about, you know, whether chalitza and yibum are counted as one mitzvah and minyan mitzvahs, or multiple. Rambam counts it twice. The Psadjago and the Bahag, the Re Barceloni, they all counted one mitzvah. There's a whole debate. And there's also a lot of discussion how, like, what model would you use to describe the relationship of yibum and chalitza? Because it's just a very unusual phenomenon. Now, it's very rare in the world of mitzvahs. The only, you know, probably the best other example, and the Rambam himself says this in Sefer Mitzvahs, Mitzvahs HaSei Pei Beis. I don't think I put that here, did I? No. The Rambam himself says this is Petra Chamor. Pidyon Chamor or Arifas HaChamor. It's almost the only two situations where you're confronted with a mitzvah where you have two options, two radically different options. Right? Here you could do this or you could do that. You could do Yibum, you could do Chalitza. You could do Pidyon, you could do Arifa. Yeah.
Petra Chamor. You do
this
seh, why would you make a bracha on
the seh?
I mean, the
pasuk
specifically says
the
seh,
but in law, we want you to do it on the pigeon part.
On the,
okay, that's a good question. He didn't say he didn't. He just said you didn't make a bracha on the arifa. For example, you make a bracha on yibum, that's a machlokas. It's a machlokas. It's a machlokas. It also may just depend, maybe whenever you have this kind of an option, you know. There might be other reasons. We didn't discuss why, whether you make a bracha on Yivam or why you don't make a bracha on Yivam either. The example that they spoke about that we read here was Arifa and Chalitza.
Ah, no.
That's the ones that they say are... Then the next line, which I skipped because we weren't... it wasn't focused on what we're talking about right now, is, well, what about the Yibum part? So somebody sort of say, he is obligated in Yibum, she's not, because she doesn't have purity of Arivia. So that's the reason why maybe both of them don't make a bracha. That's the Chinas HaRajba as well. If you don't have something parallel in Pidyon, Chamor, Beseh, then maybe you would make a bracha. That's a discussion.
You also have him say in Avishasah, but he's in conflict with the two.
Right, but that's what the mitzvah of Yibum is.
Right, but Pesach Chamor, you don't have anything against it.
Right, 100%, yeah.
Is there an overtone of Aguna with regard to Zika?
Well, that's an interesting question. It really is a focus between the Rivash and the Tashbet explicitly, but I think there are other echoes of it. I'll just mention the Rivash and Tashbet very quickly. I have the pieces here, and I'd like to discuss it, but I don't want to get by. I want to get through the next Amud of the Gemara first. The Rivash has a tshuva in which he discusses many things. A person who took a shvua, he took an oath that he's not going to do evil, or he's not going to do chalitza, or he's not going to do both, even the chalitza. The question is that called nishba levatel? Is that a binding shvua? Let's say he has a brother. Let's say the older brother took a shvua that he's not going to do evil mechalitza. So is that a good enough reason to say, well, the next brother has to step in? Or is that called nishba lebatel samitzvah? You can't take a shvua against in Torah, and it's not chal, and the obligation remains with the older brother. That's the shvua of the Rivash. That's what he talks about. I just want to read a couple of lines from there. I don't want to read the whole thing because it's really very important and very interesting. But that's the Rivash. Look here very quickly. Page 3. Shuta Rivash Simon Kupnun Tes. Od Nistapakta. Bivama Shinat Lepnei Shlosha Achin. A Yivama who, right, has three brothers who could, each of whom could do Yivam. But Goldashim Emasurlo, Shainosacho, someone said the oldest one is completely out of it because he's married to her sister. So Niskot to a Shnei Achim Anisharim, the other two are fighting over this issue. Hagodol Kafat Benishba Shvua Kamura, the next, oldest one, took a Shvua, Shelo Yivam Velo Yachlots, he's not going to do Yivam or Chalitza. Pasheni Omer Alecha Mitzvah, you can't do that. Kato Hagodol Veni Torah, Klishava Al Achrim. That's the question. So the it goes back and forth. There are the mitzvah aspects here. There are, but obviously the relationship between Yivam and Chalitza is very important. And he has here two opposite formulations about that relationship. One of which is that the relationship between Yivam and Chalitza, it's an amazing line, is like the two ways of doing Kiddush. You can make Kiddush on Yayin, you can make Kiddush on Pais. That's Yivam and Chalitza. Wow. Okay, did I make that up? Let's see. One second. I just want to find the exact line. Yeah. Well, I need to look three lines from the bottom. I think I'm not sure if we have the same text. Benidon Zeh?
Yeah.
Bein ha-yibum, bein ha-chalitza, shteya mitzvah, shatorah chivalav lesalek zikas achid be'echad mishteya. You can already see the formulation. In the mitzvah of yibum, it's not a mitzvah of yibum. It's a mitzvah of hasaras, exactly what you asked, in a way. The mitzvah is to remove her limbo state. That's not so obvious. She's in a state of limbo. That doesn't mean the mitzvah, that could be a consequence of the mitzvah. That's not what the mitzvah is, right? Or it could just be completely beside the point. So the Rivash's first formulation is, what is the mitzvah of Yibum v'chalitza? It's the same mitzvah. The mitzvah to neutralize her situation and free her from the state of limbo. Hatar chival, the salik, zikas achim. And therefore, the two are two options, but they're basically two applications because they're applications of one idea. The ikra mitzvah hua yibum, that's the preferred way, kmo she'elo achronim, the mitzvah yibum kodeva the mitzvah chalitza, el shen kofen ala yibum, sha'a kasuv, Shakasa, what's next? Tola b'chepza. Sorry. Shem lo yachvots v'yibum sheyachov. The kovros of kind of chalitza lo yirtza v'yibum. L'chein zeh gavu shalitza l'tala sol v'yirtza zika tzaka v'yibum v'chalitza v'nishma shalitza zika lo v'yibum v'chalitza reiz v'nishma l'batla sa mitzvah. Now reiz v'kinishma shalit kadesh kiddush hayom lo b'yayin v'lo b'pas. I'm not going to make kiddush not with wine, not with bread. Wow, that's a comparison. Devadei have nishma lebatos a mitzvah v'lechalav shvuah. Apal pishem nishma shalei kaddish b'yayin shvuah chalav delav mishma mehar sinai lekaddish b'yayin da'eshu lepas. Right? So that's an amazing thing. That's an amazing comparison. That is the basically seeing yibum and chalitza as two sides of the same coin, solving the zika problem. And then later on, you'll see in a moment, the Rivash has a line where he says that not only is there an initial levatos of mitzvah problem, there's a what we call the horror lehetiv problem, because you just can't leave her in a state of zika. We'll see in a moment. Odei Shlomar. Now, filim timtzaloma diyimim v'chalitza lo domali yayinu pas shol kiddush ayom, v'shim dehosam ena yayinu pas shtei mitzvos. By no one would count yayin shol kiddush and pas shol kiddush as two mitzvos in tayag. Right, you'd only count them as one, and you say there are two methods. Elachelke mitzvahim. Avokan yim v'chalitza shtei mitzvahs chalukosheim. Achas lekarev, acheres lerachek. Goes the exact opposite. Yim v'chalitza, not only not two methods of one idea, they're two completely opposite perspectives on yim v'chalitza. Two mutually exclusive ideas. One is lekarev, the other is lerachek. Im kenke shechol ha-shvua l'acha she'hizke rishona she'ilo rishus chol ha-gavel ha-cheres b'kolo ve'ein lo l'kayim lo zu v'lo zu. This has consequences which I'm not going to go into now for nishma l'batel as a mitzvah. Okay. So he has two opposite formulations. Then he says in the end, 1 second, ve'odesh tam acher, see the three lines on the bottom? Two lines on the bottom now? The fish on mitzvah would tell us all of the yad molachlo to chiyuv sheyesh liyavama aleha. Right? V'im kein shvu azu shenishma hayavam, not to do either, he has a klala agna. That's what you asked me, right, about aguna. V'im shvu as bitu chala lahara lacherim ulahapsu tzachusim. Can't she make a shvu which is going to damage someone else? So leaving her in her limbo state is la'agna as la'azika. Kamo shaluska perish.
He's not doing that since
let me say from his point of view. Now, the Rashbats, who's a contemporary of the Rivash, sometimes they do all on these topics. So here he starts with that. He says, Harei Zos HaShela Nushal Alfnei Rabbi Yitzchak Lam Sheshes, and he has a whole question. He has a very long tshuva in Tashbates, where he talks about nishma l'batel as a mitzvah. He argues with him from that point of view, but he also argues with him from the perspective of yibum v'chalitza. He doesn't like the comparison to yayin pas. Instead, he has his own fascinating comparison. To what? Two perspectives on, and it's smack in between the two extremes of the Rivash. The Rivash was either it's yayin or pas, or echa v'kare v'echa v'rachek. Right? Mutually exclusive. The Tashbeit says, I have something in between. He doesn't mention the other two. He doesn't even go into that. You have to know the tshuva of the Rivash to know what he's talking about. What are his strategies of Kedushas Yom Tov? Right? According to Rabbi Eliezer. You could either be Kul Lachem or Kul Lashem. And that's not like Pas and Yayin exactly. Pas and Yayin are just, fill in the blanks. How do you make Kiddush? Right? It's also not Echa Lekarei V'Echa Lerachek, because it's one mitzvah. But it's two completely opposite strategies, right, about that one mitzvah. Right? In the scale of it, it's fascinating, it's in between. So he says, Yibum mechalitza is like kumal Hashem or kumal Hashem. And this affects this whole understanding of Rishba Levatel and so on. Interesting, again, because we're looking for models, where else do you have, right, that you have, you know like an optional, decision to make, you know? It's very rare. Again, the Rambam in Mitzvah Taseh, Peidei, says, I wouldn't have thought that pidyon chamor, right, or arifas chamor, says the Rambam, I wouldn't have thought that they would be separate mitzvahs. He says, but since Yibum and Chalitza are, so these are too. That's his way of saying, right, that this phenomenon of being confronted with two options, right, is very rare, very, very rare, right? And, you know, when you have one, precedent, you know, you're likely going to link it with the other. And so, I say, in many of it's a big issue. Rav Avraham Rambam and Rav Daniel Ababli had this discussion. Some of them wanted to compare it to Korban Ola V'Yored. Right? One minyan mitzvah, the Rambam counts it as one. If you're an Ani or an Ashir, there are different levels of financial wherewithal. You know, what Korban do you bring in a Korban Ola V'Yored? So they were bothered that the Rambam counts as one. How come even Mechalitza counts as two? So Ritzur Sajigo and Ruchem Fishel Perla is a whole discussion of this. Now, of course, it's a little bit different because there it's not an option, right? It's depending which category you fit into, right? So it's a half a mashal. It's not as good as Pas Nyayin or Kul Hashem or Kul Lachem, frankly. Anyways, what's fascinating, so he goes through this and these are the different formulations and he discusses the Rishba Levatel, a different perspective. Then at the end of the piece, he also says, and don't tell me that this is a problem of Lahara because he's mazik her by leaving her in Aguna. Now again, if you didn't read the whole Tshuva of the Rivash, she doesn't quote that part. He only quotes Rashi and Varsha Skasidi. Bare Bones mentions the Rivash. If you read the Tshuva of the Rivash, then you read the Tshuva, that's not going to do, we don't have the time for it. But if you read it, it's like a, you know, point counterpoint. But in a very impressive way about Nishba Levatel, some mitzvah, about Yibum Mechalitza, you can see the ingenuity, you know, and the, both the knowledge and the analysis. It's like a very inspiring, point counterpoint. Anyway, so the end of the piece, he just says, seemingly out of the blue, he says, let me find the line about Kul Lachem and Kul Hashem.
Page four.
Where? I know it's here. Third paragraph on page four. Yeah, the chen nami, very good, thank you. The chen nami, mishen ishba shalei yochol biyomtov, below yishne, below chayle alei shvua midin kol rab lazer desfirolei o kula lachem o kula lachem. Apapisho achila hefech, right? A mishnah, you can either learn all day or you can eat all day. Dumia the chalitza v'yibum sha'achas o keres zika. So like the second view of the Rivash, you know, Echad Kari and Echad Rachek. But for them, you know, that's for the second view of the Rivash, it's much bigger gap. Here, it's two strategies how to deal with the same thing. Apilachi shtein mitzvah name, right? If you don't count Pravalaza, you don't have two minyan mitzvahs, right? For the Rivash, the second view, you should have two minyan mitzvos. Okay. Apilu hachi shtein mitzvos yivam in hain, dumin il shanos v'lechol, she shtein mitzvos yom tov hain, apa bisha os achas patru me'acheres, v'chein nami mitzvos pedio mitzvos arifa, the kibase. Then at the end it says, v'miyu ein zeh nishba lahara v'lacherim, sh'ari lo matzino azar v'tor, sh'lo la'agim sh'meres yavam. This is again, they think we're colluding, but, you know, this is what you asked, right? Is there some prohibition to be ma'agim the Yavama? The Rivar said, absolutely. And that's a separate point why you can't take this kind of a shvuah. And the Rajbab says, there's no such din. Eizem nishba lahara lachayim shari lo matzim yazhar batara lo la'agein shemeres yadam. No such halacha. The Rivash will say, that's exactly what the mitzvah of Yivam Mechalitza, that's the pas b'yayin. Okay. Vein b'klal ros acheru, l'mash yazira Torah. Kigon, akes ploni, eftas mocho, ligzol v'limsor, right? But there's no such thing, he says, avol shemer siyavam, kivin da'dayin eino ishto, eino b'din zeklal. Wow. Anyways, The point I'm trying to make with all of this, and there's much more to say, we'll get back to some of it and more, is that when we have this klal, kol ola liyibam, ola l'chalitza, kol she'en ola liyibam, ein ola l'chalitza, right? So it very much depends, and we'll see much more, about these issues, right? As I said, one perspective is, it's the zika, everything is about the zika, but per se, yibam l'chud, chalitza l'chud, just they share in common the zika. Maybe even that they don't share in common. Maybe there's a Zika Libam and a Zika Lechalitza that are separate. That would be the most two different dinim, nothing to do with each other. However, if it's Pas Yayin, right, or if it's Mitzvah Baba Aveira, Lava Nita Klase, or if it's a safety valve, or it's the Avelos because now you killed him because you didn't do the Ibam and you could have, right? So then you understand the other way of reading Kala Ol Ibam. Ola Chalitza, Kol Shein Ola Yibum, Ein Ola Chalitza. Namely, right, Chalitza loses its significance, right, when it's not up to you whether to do Yibum or not. That's a whole different story. Okay, there's another question.
Does the definition of Lahara depend on the timing of the Shura? Do you take it before the other brother dies or after the brother dies?
The both of them are assuming here that the, in theory one could have said that. Oh, I see. You mean you're saying that for the mace?
Is he lahar? He's saying lahar. Ain a yishto, right?
Well, he says loli yabim belachlot. Does that have meaning in the?
Does that mean before?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, they're assuming this all took place after, in the negotiations over who's going to be the. That's what they're talking about. It's an interesting question that you're raising, but you'd also have to wonder whether the words even have meaning. Where you can you anticipate even the chalitzas or chalos even the chalitzas to talk about? You know, the mokum that everybody's alive.
It's a snake.
Yes. So that's another issue too. Is there a din that kol she'ena b'chalitza ena b'yibam? So that's a discussion. Tosas on Yud Amud Beis and also on Mem Dalid Amud Aleph has such a klal. I don't want to go into all the details right now, but if you look at Tosas Yud Amud Beis Dir Maso Ihu Hu Dekoy Below Yibane, if you see, it says the tema of the Bakolik. You see where it says the Kaman Mem Dalad Amud Aleph Mashmid Lo Aiter Kod Below Yibane Ali Itzrich Below Lachlot Lachada Liyabim Lachada Nasan Parach Hamasisin Me Whatever. So Tosas here develops the idea Kol She'ena Roy Lachlot Eino Roy Liyabim, and Mem Dalad Amud Aleph he has the same thing. And they said, this is the Rambam's pshat also. Kol she'ein olibu, if you look here, dimumasu uniyabe, mem dalad omrali. That's what they have. The Rambam has this. The Mishnah says in Sanhedrin that a eshes hamelech is not subject to, melech is not subject to chalitza. Because you can't, the spitting is, chisus akavod for him. So the Mishnah also says that there's no yibum. So the Rambam says there's no Yibum because there's no Chalitza. So that's the reverse of this. But there are some Rishonim who don't think it's true. They think that there's no such thing.
All these formulations, Mitzvah Mavera, would not work.
Right, exactly. So then you have to say it's either the Zika, which is a combination of the two, or in some cases, again, maybe it's Pas V'ayin, or it's the safety valve. Those can work in both directions.
It can't be on Bailiff.
Right, exactly. Some of the things don't work in both directions, and some do, depending on which model we're talking about.
The last point you made about the Ashbeit, as opposed to the Rebush, is it possible that there's a time issue here, that if there's no Kriyav to do Yibum or Chalitza within a specified time interval?
There isn't. I mean, maybe the Torah,
so perhaps the Ashbeit is saying that because there is not.
I mean, Azariah. If there was such a thing, there'd be a speedy.
Right.
I mean, it could be. I mean, but what you're saying is a raya for Shitas HaTashbeit, that this isn't a critical factor, is the fact that the Torah itself doesn't say you have a month, you have a year, you have 10 years. Interesting. Or maybe just because they understand that, you know, again, the Rebosh might want to say to you, you know, well, you know, it's like any other chiva mitzvah, you know, Zeriza Magdimin, and that... you know, that does it. But I hear it. 100%. Okay, let's continue the Gemara. There's much, much more to say about Kol Olivim, because there are other cases in the Gemara later on, number one, where, first of all, there are other Makoros about the relationship between Yibam and Chalitza, which we need to discuss. A, you know, in terms of the priority of one or the other, the preference of one or the other. B, the Gemara later on, Daf Chaf Omid Beis and Chaf Alef Omid Aleph, discusses the question, we say, Ase Docha Lo Sase. Right, the Gemara wants to know, but that's only the Efshar L'Kayim Shneim, right? The Efshar, sorry, L'Kayim Shneim. You have to pick between the Aseh and the La. So, does the fact that you could do Chalitza and ignore Yibum, maybe that means Efshar L'Kayim Shneim, or Chalitza, the way the Gemara puts it later on, Chalitza. If you just look for one second, Chalitza b'Mokom Mitzvah, Eino Klum. That's the line of the Gemara Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph. That seems to be the debate between the Gemara Chaf Amud Beis, which leaves a certain question to you, the Tzara Kinyan, and the Gemara Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, which has this line. If you look here, it's 3, 6, 9 lines down. 9 lines down from the top of the page. Aval Hocha Chalitza B'Mokom Yibum Lav Mitzvah. So there's a big debate in the Rishonim. What does this line mean? It means that it's two different mitzvahs? That would work well according to some models, or it means it's tafel the ikar, right? And if there's no yibum, there's no chalitza. So you need to be able to have yibum either way to have chalitza. Similarly, the Gemara and Vav Amud Aleph about hechsher mitzvah, which also Rashi interprets that way. Does the fact that you could do chalitza in any way mitigate the urgency of doing yibum legabe hechsher mitzvah, chiyuv mitzvah, mitzvah of aseh dochalos aseh? Etc. So there's that whole issue to talk about. There are also several cases of kol ola yibam ola lechalitza, kol she'eno yibam eno lechalitza later on in the Masechta, which are cases in which we seem to apply this din even when it's not true that there's no zika. Let's say the suffix zika. The Gemara had, for example, in the beginning of Perek Acholetz, has a case where the woman, the sister-in-law, after the brother dies, is pregnant. Right? So the question is, there's no yibum at that time, right? Because, you know, you just don't know, is she going to produce a child, and then it's Eishes Ach, or she'll have a miscarriage, you know, sadly, but then there'll be yibum. So there's no yibum. And the question, the debate in the Gemara is there chalitza? Can you do chalitza right then and say, and then if it turns out she miscarries, right? So the chalitza will have already taken place. Or do you say kol ola liibum, ola lachalitza, kol shen ola liibum? Now that's more of a technical reason why you can't do ibum, right? It's not that there's no, it's a suffix zika, right? Or later on, that's one case. Then there's another case on Mem Aleph. These are all the cases where the Gemara quotes kol ola liibum in the Mishnah of Havchana. Mishnah says that you know, in every case of ibum, you always wait 3 months. Right, just in case, because you want to know whether the child, if there's a child, you know, would it belong to the deceased brother, right, or to the Yava. So there's a din of Avchana. That din of Avchana is probably din Rabbanon. But the Gemara then wants to know, during the period of Avchana, can you have Chalitza? Again, or is that again, Kol Ola Yibum, Ola Chalitza, Kol Shein. Now those cases, there's a third case, and then Dalet Amud Aleph, where the Gemara speaks about a case where There's more than one wife, right? And you do yibum on one, you can't do yibum on another one. If you do chalitza on one, you can't do chalitza on another one. If you do yibum on one, you can't do chalitza on the other one. And depending on, again, whether it's in both directions, if you do chalitza on one, can you do yibum on another one? So once again, the Gemara in that context says, listen, if when you do yibum on one, you can't do yibum on another, then you can't do chalitza on another either, because kol's chain ola le yibum, ain't ola le chalitza. So these are all cases where there is zika, right? Or Zika isn't the issue, put it that way. The question is whether there's a... And it's not a question even... Like the case of the Gemara here in Gimel and Aleph, and again when the Gemara talks about it on Chafam and Aleph, the point is there's no Chalitza because you don't need Chalitza. Because there's no Yibum, therefore there's no need for Chalitza. The cases later in the Masechta, those three cases that I'm talking about, are cases where there... Not that there's no need for Chalitza, the question is the Chalitza Chal? Is there a Chalos Chalitza? If you do it, does it have any meaning? Or is that also tied to the actual practical or conceptual implementation of Yibum? That's a very important issue. Even it's fascinating, again, since we talked about the bracha for just a minute, so the Abudram here quotes... just look at the last page here. We did Ein Rebokin al Chalitza b'shem Mitzvah Baba Beira. The Ka'avar al Asay the Yibum, right? So the Chen Ein Isha Mevareches al Chalitza b'lo al Yibum k'lo Mipkadat Piri Veridya. That's also fascinating because what does Pru Rvu have to do with Yibum? I mean, it has to do, but it isn't exactly. Okay. Then it says the Chivan she'eno of the Mitzvah Yibum ein of the Mitzvah Chalitza. The Krav Yosi means she. Why? Krav Yosi, the Amar called the Olal Yibum Olal Chalitza. The Amar Chalitza the Yibum is Kashu Ladadi. This is very fascinating. For Joseph Ibn Palat says, since she doesn't make a bracha, what's his point? The man in Chalitza doesn't make a bracha because it's like Mitzvah Baba Beira. It's not the Nita Kase. But it's not her Aveira. She didn't do anything wrong. Maybe she should make a bracha on Chalitza. Right? So his answer is, Kol Olal Yibum Olal Chalitza, Kol Zain Olal Yibum Olal Chalitza. This, of course, is different than all the cases of the Gemara, right? Half of the cases of Gemara are cases where there's no, you know, you're mufka b'yibum, therefore there's no need for chalitza. The other part, the other cases of the Gemara that I just rattled off very quickly are cases where you can't do yibum, and therefore maybe there, even if you do chalitza, it's meaningless, and there's no chalos. Here's a case where there's a chiyuv yibum chalitza, where we're talking about something totally different. Does she, is she obligated to make a bracha? So, because she doesn't make a bracha for, why didn't she make a bracha for Yibum according to this view? Because she's not mitzvah b'piri of Arivia. So, because she's not mitzvah b'piri of Arivia, therefore she's not included in the mitzvah of Yibum, she shouldn't make a bracha on the mitzvah of Chalitza? This has nothing to do with Zika, nothing to do with, there's a Yibum, there's a Chalitza here. It has to do with the birchas mitzvah of Yibum and the birchas mitzvah of Chalitza. That's why he added the extra lines, the Alma Chalitza b'Yibum is Kashi la'adadi. Meaning, it isn't just about Zika, right? It's about, conceptually, the interconnection between the two. And that's, there's a Sefer Itur, do I quote it here or not? Doesn't look like it. The Bala Itur says that there's no bracha on Yibum for another reason. That is, it's not Tzanua. Since Yibum is based on the physical relationship between them, right? So you don't make a bracha. That's the same. It's based on Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi has a view that if you do kiddushei bia, you don't make a bracha. Okay, same idea of Yibum. So then the Bala Itur says, and what about chalitza? So he says, kol ol Yibum amul chalitza, kol shen ol Yibum amul chalitza. Now you understand very well. Again, that has nothing to do with the Zika. Nothing to do. Right, it's a question of, because for tznius reasons you don't make a bracha on Yibum, therefore you won't make a bracha on Chalitza. Right? So that's already pushing the contours of Kol Ol Yibum quite far. There's a discussion about shlichus, right? There's no shlichus with Chalitza. Question is what? So most of Shadim say, who speak about it, say, because the Dovr Shebegufo, right, there's a physical action or aspect rather than a legal jurisdictional aspect to Chalitza. Fine. Marach or Zerua has one day where he says, no, the reason is because there's no, obviously there's no Shlichus Le'ibum, right? So he says, we'll call Le'ibum all Chalitza. Right? Wow. Okay. And that's to do with Zika, right? So what I'm trying to show is that there are different levels of this din of Kola Ola. Let's continue. The Gemara continues on here on Gimel and Aleph. Minyana de Reisha Lemutei Mai, Minyana de Seifa Lemutei Mai. So the Mishnah says there are 15 Arayos, and it repeats it again later. Right? These are the 15 Arayos. after it lists them off. So what is the minyan intended to exclude? Both minyanim. So the Gemara says, l'mute to exclude the rab u'drab asi. Who are rab and rab asi? Very interesting. I'm just going to move a little more quickly in this part of the Amud, but there's a lot to say here too. The Gemara, so Rashi says, the Amar Rav, Rav says later on, Sara Sota Asura. Let's say a woman, right, the brother was married to two women, let's say, one of whom betrayed the marriage. She was a Sota. So the din is that she is Asura love. He can't continue to live with her. Right, but he didn't divorce her, whatever. So she now is Omedes, she's Kuka Liibum, together with her Tzara. Together with her co-wife. The co-wife is perfectly fine. So the Rashi explains, Shem Zinsa Ishto, below Isha Achera, so Mez below Panim, Shteyem Peturos. Rav is of the opinion that Soras, Sota, is Asura, right? Not only is a Sota Asura, Liyavan, but that Soras Sota is excluded as well. Very important idea, which we'll discuss later on. The Gemara Yidal from Rav says, because even though there's no erva, literally, because it's only chayde ma'adin, it's only a lav. Nonetheless, the Torah uses the language of tuma when it comes to sota, and the Gemara says that that is the equivalent, if you look here just quickly, in Yud Aleph from Aleph, that is the equivalent of erva. Almost in a little bit more than halfway down the page, the Gemara says, Omer Avinu Marav, Sora Sota, Asura, Tuma, Ksivbe Karayos. That's the shita of Rav. Even though it's not chayve krisus, it doesn't qualify objectively as erva in the normal sense of the word, right? Nonetheless, tumak sivde karayos, which would imply that the issue of arayos and the ikuv of yibum isn't about the chomer ha'isur. It's not chayve krisus, because this isn't chayve krisus. It's about the status or the stature of erva, which is very important because we've been trying to discuss whether or not the problem of Yibum, right, and these obstacles is because of Kedushas Yibum and the impropriety of it, or it's because of the Ase Dokalosa Ase Sheish Bakare's problem. We'll,
at what stage is this Sota?
What do you mean?
I mean, it's a long process.
Yeah, we're talking about a Sota Vadai here. Well, sorry, there are Eidim. You're absolutely. There's a big debate in the Mishnah and Sota and the Gemara and Daf Hei, and then we've shown him, what about a Sota Safek? Like if there's Kinui and Avstira, Kinui and Stira, Inachad. But here we're talking about Sota, what we call Sota Vada.
If the Sota dies, does the wife then become a Kuka?
If the Sota dies before the Misa.
Before the husband dies.
Before the husband dies.
The Sota dies after the husband dies.
No.
Because the remaining wife becomes a
kukah. No. This is like any other. Unless you're mechalik between other erva. But Rav is treating it like a regular tsaras erva. For example, let's say the sister-in-law, Achos Ishto, died, right, after the brother. It would be the same. It seems like it should be the same thing. Okay. The Ravasi, who's Ravasi? He says, tsaras ilanis asura. What's that case? Shimaya nasui ilanis. Let's say the deceased brother, one of his two wives, is an islandess, right? A woman who can't have children. The ishach, which says simanim that she can't. The ishach cheres, and he has another wife. Umeis plabanim shteim pturos. Also, we say tsaras islandess. It's also controversial. So the Gemara says lebute derav udravasi. Our Mishnah tells you there are 15, not tsaras sota, not tsaras islandess. Okay. Then the Gemara says ularav. Yeah, the Rav and Rav Asi lemutei mai. How will Rav and Rav Asi explain the Mishnah? Can't be to exclude their cases because they think their cases are good, right? That they are potos tsaraseim. So the Gemara says isviru luda hadadi. If they hold each other's view, right? So then you have to chada lemutei tsaras mimaenes. Another case. Let's say that one of the deceased brother's wives is a ktana sheesia ima, the achia, right? Somebody who is a minor. The father didn't marry, so it's a kiddushin rabbanon, which is subject to miyum. And let's say there's another wife, a tsara. So is tsaras mima enes also pateras tsarasa? The answer is no. The chad alamute tsaras machzer gushas. Or, another case, similar to sota, let's say, again, the deceased husband, the deceased brother, rather, was married to two women. He divorced one of them. She got remarried. She got divorced, or her second husband died, and she remarried, right, the deceased brother before he died. Obviously before he died, right? That's an iser of matzu gushasa. Namely, if she didn't get married in the intervening time, then that's a permissible matzu gushasa. Both there's an iser matzu gushasa, right, and there's another wife. So is there a din of tsaras matzu gushasa? The answer is no. No such thing. That's what we're saying. The ilo sviru l'hadadi, right? If they don't agree with each other, so we can say chad alabute dechabre, one is to exclude the other guy's case, right? Whether it's tsaras sota or ilonis. The chad alabute o tsaras memanis o tsaras masu grushasa. But then the Gemara says the rab l'rabasi l'sninu. According to Rab and Rabasi, you think that tsaras sota and or tsaras islandess is asura. Why isn't it in the Mishnah? I mean, the Mishnah lists 15 cases and we know what they are. So if they're not excluded because they're true, why aren't they included in the Mishnah? Ah. So the Gemara says an interesting thing. Lefi she'ena b'tsaras tsara. The reason is because they're not included in tsaras tsara. Why not? So Rashi explains, because there's no case of tsaras tsara. What is tsaras tsara? If you remember, again, it's not that difficult if you just, you know, remain calm. And that is, Tsara is the case where, right, brother number two, Shimon, right, was excluded from all the candidates of Ibum because he's related to one of them, and one of them is his daughter, or daughter-in-law, right? But it's another brother, Levi. So he's not related, and he could go ahead and marry them. But then if Levi dies, then Shimon once again confronts not the Erba, but the Tsaras Erba. And what about the Tsara of the Tsaras Erba? Oh. But, this is why I say that not to panic, that can only happen if the relationship that is prohibited is one that could theoretically be permitted to another brother. Right? If it's the kind of Iser which has to be across the board for all brothers, for example, if it's a relative from the father's side, that's the Mishnah Yud Gimel Amud Aleph.
Yeah.
Right? It can happen with a mother or a stepmother or an aunt from the father. So too, it can't happen with a Tsaras Sota. Why? Because if my brother Sota, right, is excluded as a Yavam candidate, then it's excluded not only to Shimon, but also to Levi. And the same thing is true of Ilanis. If my brother's Ilanis wife, right, is excluded to the point that she creates a Tsara, it's not to Shimon any more than to Levi. So there's no case of Tsaras Tsara. So the reason it's not in the Mishnah is because the Mishnah wanted to teach also the din of Tsaras Tsara Exon. Okay, now. Before we get to Minhag HaMilim, which is the main point, I'm just going to do the Tosas here already, since we're on the spot. So Tosas here has a very, very important discussion. Tosas says, "Lefi she'enan b'tzaras tzara." V'im tomar, Tosas asks, "V'im mashkachas la tzaras tzara le'inin boel she'nisis la'achib lo isha acheres u'neis b'labonim t'poteres tzarasa min ha'boel." What is that? Okay, again, it's just, you know, like deep breath. What's the following case? The background is as follows. This is like very interesting. If there's a sota case, a sota badai, so what happened? The brother had problems in his marriage, right? His, one of his wives, say wife number one, you know, betrayed him with another person. So the din of sota is, if there's an Iser Labal and an Iser Laboel, she cannot return to her husband if she was Mizana Baratzon, right? Or Baonis if he's a Kohen, but that's a different story. And she also cannot, right, resume any kind of relationship after she's divorced, obviously. Once she's no longer there, she cannot have a relationship with the Boel, with the person with whom she was unfaithful to her husband. That's the Isur of the Baal, the Isur of the Baal. Now the Gemara just said, there's no Tsara case of a Baal, because Levi is just as prohibited as Shimon is to the Sota. Correct? But what about to the Boel? What do you mean, what about to the Boel? Can it be a tzara to the Boel? What happens, right, if the Shimon, right, is the Boel? Right, so you have a case of tzara sota. Right? So again, look at Tosis' case. Mashkachas l'tzara tzara l'inyan boel. Shenises l'achiv. Right? She was mezana. Right? And she married... She was mezana to somebody else, and then she married... Not the deceased brother. She was this woman married Reuven. Right? She herself, in others, was in a previous marriage, and she had a relationship with Shimon, which broke up that marriage. She was the Boel. Right? Now she marries, all that's all behind her. Hopefully she's done tshuva. And she marries Reuven, the brother of the Boel. There's no Issa Boel. Correct? Now Reuven dies and leaves this wife and a tzara.
Right.
So Shimon now encounters the Boel. He's the a woman, in other words, with he was the Boel. They're prohibited to each other. But there's also a tzara. Now Levi, right? He's free and clear. Because it's from a different... It's not the also the Baal part. It's the also the Boel part. He was the other man. Shimon was the other man. Okay? So now, is there tzara for Levi? Sure. Levi marries Reuven's second wife, right? Who is a tzara, right? To the Isha, who has the Isha Boel, to Shimon. Then Levi dies, right? He has a tzara. There's a tzara. So Tosis, with their ingenuity, have found the case of tzaras tzara for the Boel. So why not put it in the Mishnah? Okay. So am I interested in the Tosis only because the Tosis is ingenious, right? You just have to have a certain kind of mind to think of these cases.
Yes.
Okay. But that's not why, as I say, the cases we talked about at the beginning of the year about the Chovas Alvavos' comment. The cases aren't just cases for the sake of cases. Right, they test the conceptual parameters of the zinin, and this is a great one. The mishkach, you'll see why in a second. The mishkachas l'tzaras tzara l'inyan boel. For example, she, right, who's mezana with Shimon, niseis l'achiv, she marries Reuven, v'lo isha acheres, Reuven had another wife, umeis b'lo banim. And he died without children. The poteres tsarasa mina boel, the linyan boel nami tuma ba kamo linyan baal. Tosis' assumption is that the din, now the isur of the boel is only in isurlab, but the isur of the baal is also only in isurlab. But the Gemara says on daf yud aleph omid aleph, we read it a second ago, that tuma ksiva karayos. That's why, even though it's only lab, it has the effect of tsara. It's a din of tzaras erba, even though it's only a lab, because of tumah. Correct? Everybody with me so far? Oh, so if that's true, Tosa says for the Baal, that's also true for the Boel. Right? Presumably, that's the first assumption. Vim holcha hatzara, the nises, l'achiv asheni, right? If the tzara, meaning Reuven's other wife, married Levi, below Isha Cheres, and he had two wives. And May said he died. Kashem Shehi Petura. Kach Tzorasa Petura. So you have Tzoras Tzora. So the Boel, according to Rav, should have been in the Mishnah. That's the question. Which is another way of saying, is that case the equivalent of the Baal? So Tosfos gives two answers, very fascinating. The first one is the Yeshlomar, Kivin de Legabe Baal, Lo Meshkachas Tzoras Tzora. Ein Lano Vahachme Betuma de Gabe Boel. Yosu mituma de gavi abal. An astounding answer. Why an astounding answer? Tosa says, the Isur Labal and the Isur Laboel are usually formulated together as one. And the Isur Laboel cannot be more chamor than the Isur Labal. So if the Issa Labal doesn't have a Tzaras Tzara, then the Issa Labal doesn't have a Tzaras Tzara either. Why is that astounding? Because the only reason that there's no Tzaras Tzara for the Baal is because technically you just can't find the case, because Levi is just as affected as Shimon, right, by the status of Labal. It's not because in principle there's no Tzaras Tzara. It's not a Kula. Moreover, why is it a Kula anyway? Right? Tzaras Tzara is more Kal than Tzara. Oh, that depends a little on some of the things we discussed last week. Last week we discussed the question, is the idea of the whole idea of Tzaras Erba is a big Chiddush? Because what does it mean, Tzaras Erba? Right? The wife, one of his wives is my daughter. But the other wives aren't my daughter. But why are they prohibited? Beis Shammai makes a lot of sense. Right, so what's the answer for Beis Hillel? Either everything becomes, whenever there's a bump in the road, everything turns into Eishes Ach. So, oh, it's true. It doesn't look like the co-wife is an Erba, but she is. You know why? Because she's Eishes Ach. It's all or nothing. So if one of them can't be a candidate, then Eishes Ach comes back with a vengeance. Everybody's Eishes Ach. So she might look like there's no problem, but she's an Eishes Ach. Or, there's a special category called shame, Tzaras Erba. The association, the stigma, that's enough to transfer Le'inyan Zeh the status of Erba. Being a co-wife with an Erba, it gives you a status of Erba. Now, what's Tosa saying here? Tosa's saying an amazing thing. Tosa's saying, Tzaras Tzara, right, is a Chumrah, but doesn't apply for Sota Labala, and therefore it's not going to apply either for Sota Laboel. So that I'm just saying there are two amazing points here. One is, if it's a practical reason why you can't have a Tzara Tzara for one, right, is even if it's true that it was a Kal and a Chamor, you wouldn't have thought that we'd apply it that way. That's number one. Number two, Tzaras Tzara is a Kal and a Chamor. Every time you have a Tzaras Erva or a Tzaras Tzara, it's just Eishes Ach. So it's not a Chumrah. Lemaisa, when you have Tzaras Tzara, you're just expanding the Hagdara of Eishes Ach. It's like Eishes Ach Sheyesh Labanim or Eishes Ach Shelo B'Makom Mitzvah. Right? There's no fundamental difference between Tzaras Tzara and Tzara, is there? Just a way of explaining how the same concept, right, just continues to spread during the cases. So even if it were true that some arbitrary impediment to a Chumrah, right, would be able, right, to limit Boel because it's inapplicability to Baal, even if that were true, who said this is even a Kula and a Chumrah? And yet, Tosas say what they say. Tosas assumes that, here Tosas assumes, that Tzaras Tzara is a different category than Tzara. It's not just a natural progression. We'll see in a moment, it works nicely, according to some views in the Gemara, and basically, it's a subject also of the second Tosas on that base of Aleph. And number two, there's this idea that Tzaras Tzara, that this idea that Boel, right, even arbitrarily cannot be worse than Baal, which probably implies some sort of the following idea. Right. When we look at the Issa Labal, I don't want to get too involved in this right now, but you know, there are two ways to look at it. One is, these are the two consequences of this betrayal. Right? The illicit relationship, you know, what has become a contaminated relationship with the husband, right? And what is a illicit contaminated relationship with the Boel. Right, which you can, it's a stigma you can't overcome. It started, the relationship between them started badly, had certain bad history, can't be overcome. Right? Then the Baal is no different than the Baal, basically. They're parallel, or maybe they're slightly different, but they're independent, basically. Apparently, Tosis understands that the Issa LeBoel is a kind of a knas that results from the Issa LeBaal. In other words, it's not that per se there's an Issa LeBoel. The Issa LeBoel, this guy broke up, or they broke up this marriage, they're going to, you know, ride off, you know, into the sunset, you know, and live happily married after. Happily, is that right? Something after, whatever. Right? The answer is no. They destroyed a marriage, right? They can't have a marriage. It's a kind of a knas d'oraisa. If it's a kind of a knas d'oraisa, right? So then maybe we can understand that you don't have to be worse than the Baal, even if it's for technical reasons. What do you mean the opposite?
The knas could be worse, right? The Baal.
Well, I mean, they didn't. If you don't affect. The point is that it's only a knas. It's not an intrinsic issur. So it doesn't. It's not measured by itself. It's measured. You know, Nez, you could say it's a knas and still say that this doesn't make any sense. I mean, this kind of limitation. But what I'm saying is, if you're going to impose this kind of limitation and it's basically technical and arbitrary, then you have to be seeing this as a knas, and the mentality has to be that, you know, you don't have to be worse than the. It's meant. You're not going to do better than the Baal. Right? But you're not going to do worse than the Baal either, even if it's arbitrary. That would be the idea. This is a question that is reflected in some other Makoros. For example, there's a whole discussion, famous discussion with Rabbi Tam and Tosin Ksuvistab Gimbel, other places. Let's say the Boel was a non-Jew. Right? So do we say Bias Akum Kibias Behem? Does that qualify for Labal, for the Isa Labal, and for the Isa Laboel, and are they a package deal? There are various views of Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam discussed the famous problem. Let's say the Boel is a non-Jew, and then he converts later on and becomes a Jew. Can she marry him or not? Aside from so the Ritva says, it's an issue of Gershon is Gaier Kekotan Shinola. That's not what Rabbeinu Tam says. Rabbi Tam says the Isa Laboel is not a problem because Bias Akum can Bias Behem. However, the evidence seems to be that there's still an Isa Labal. So there are two versions of Rabbeinu Tam. We learned Suvis some years ago. We discussed this. There are two versions in Rabbeinu Tam, whether Rabbeinu Tam distinguishes between Isa Labal and Isa Laboel. But the point is, again, if you think Isa Laboel is a Knas, right, you might take a different view on this map. There are other ways to explain the chiluk as well. Another issue is the issue of Ibarim. Let's say you didn't have an act of Gilei Arayos of Ibarim. What impact does that have both on the, especially the Bakom Kinui, you have Kinui, and let's say then you had a Baal now, the Ibarim, right? What impact does that have both in terms of the Baal and in terms of the Baal? So there are other issues like this. Okay. Either way, that's the first very intriguing view of Tosis. The second view is even better. The Odomari. The Dafka Bituma Dixiv Gabe Baal Habakarayos. Dixiv Beloshon Lab Lo Yucha Baala Begomer. Aval Beboel Loksiv Lab Elevinistera Vihinitma. Okay, then Tosis, what's the basic idea? Tosis seems to be saying the Iser Leboel is different than the Iser Lebaal. The Iser Lebaal is Tuma Ksiv Be Karayos. Even though the language of Tuma also is applied to the Boel, but not in the sense of Karayos. That's the idea. Now, Bentos just cleans up in the end. Alright, but our Bahad Parak Lakaman, the Gemara later on says, Nivala Tuma Ksiva Vinister of Initma, Tamashim Dahai Lechude Darish Tuma, Ksiv Karayos, and that applies to both. But the Sulema did the Bible Mishani to make him a love alab, well, Sogi by even this Ravi Hinit. Okay, technically. Why is it such an important issue? Even the Gemara itself is a very important issue. Because here you have a situation, one of the things they've been looking for is to try to isolate the Iser, the level of the Iser, from the status. Right, we've been trying to figure out, you have the mitzvah of evil, right? But not b'makom erva. Why? So our two perspectives in general about Yibum have been, well, Yibum is a rule breaker, it tramples on certain dinei issues, Eishes Hach in particular, but the overriding good of Lahakim La'achid Shein B'Yisrael is matir that, and the question is, how much will it trample on in doing this good? Right? Oh, well, we have rules. Ase Dechalos Ase, Ein Ase Dechalos Ase Sheish Pakares, Ein ase docha lo sase viase. And those are the rules. Or, yibum is a form of ishus, and it's not that it tramples on eshesach, the makom she'ein banim, this becomes a chesed and an opportunity for a proper kedushin and kedushas ishus, as long as it's handled properly. In which case, the question of obstacles should be seen not only in terms of isurim and the regular dinim of kol Torah kula ase dechalos ase, but should be perceived in terms of appropriate candidates for kedushas ishus. In which case, the legal status of erva, not necessarily the chomer ha'iser from the perspective of ase dechalos ase, is going to determine. So what did the Gemara say in Yud Aleph of the Pashas? There are other views of it, but the simple, and certainly the way Tosfos and Rashi read it, what did Rav say? Sara sota is a sura, sota is treated like an erva, because tumak did they. But even though it's only lav, asadokalos asay should apply. Right? Here you have a situation where you've isolated, right, the shame erva, even though the Chomer Isur doesn't justify that there's no Ase Dechalos Ase. And nonetheless we say that it's excluded and there's a din even of Tzaras Erva. So Tosis comes along and says, I'll do one better by you. And that is, even though the Isur LaBaal and the Isur LaBoel are very closely connected, the Isur LaBoel isn't a din Erva. And all we need, even though it's Echad L'Baal V'Echad L'Boel, from an Issa point of view, it's the same lav. But if there's no din, no shame, erva, right, then the dinim of Tzara and the obstacle for Yibum will not apply. Now, similarly, this we'll maybe discuss a little more next week, the Tosis on Beis Amud Aleph, the bottom Tosis on Beis Amud Aleph, discusses the problem of Nida. Why is it when an isha is a nida, v'shas misas habal, maybe we should say that there's no, she's nida's an erva, nida's chai be'krisus, maybe we should say that there's no yibum. But it doesn't seem, it's not in the Mishnah, and it doesn't seem plausible. It would be such a nightmare, you know, to say such a thing. And if this tsaras erva would be incredibly, you know, you just wipe out three quarters of yibum. Why isn't it true, though? What? I mean, you know, there are people who discuss that, but the point is, once again, there you have Chai Krisus, the opposite case. Chai Krisus, but the question is whether you have Erva. So we'll talk about that next week and then continue in the comments.